Stephen Hayes joins us. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Brian. How are you?
Steve, first off, how long have you been working on that story?
Well, I've been following the talking points part of this story really since we learned that their first were talking points. And so I've been kind of keeping up with it. But I picked it up again a couple weeks ago, and I've just been chasing it last week.
So having talking points is not new to Washington. It almost makes sense, right? It's something you would do on a controversial subject to make sure whether it's Dick Cheney or Joe Biden or Leon Panetta or Donald Rumsfeld, that we're all in agreement that this is what happened.
Yeah, I think that's right. I would say just add the one sort of exception to that that made this a little bit odd is that it was that these were talking points drafted by the intelligence community for policymakers, and I've talked to former intelligence officials who say that that was, you know, uncommon, unusual, and not advisable. So that was a little bit of a difference in this case.
Tell me where I'm wrong here. What you found out is that they were asked instantly to tell, the CIA was asked, tell me what happened. They have an assessment what happened, and it points to the fact that they should have known about the Al-Qaeda threat going in. The State Department reads the CIA talking points. It says, Victoria Nuland says, I don't really like this. It makes it look like the State Department wasn't paying attention to agency warnings. So the CIA cut out references to Ansar el-Sharia and made minor tweaks, and that was not good enough for Ben Rhodes, correct?
Yeah, I think that's basically right. I mean, this all happens over basically 24 hours on from September 14th, which is a Friday, 3 days after the attack, to September 15th, about noon to noon, roughly. And, yeah, I mean, the CIA drafts these talking points, and the initial version is very aggressive, says, we know that Al-Qaeda-linked extremists participated in the attacks. And anybody familiar with the way that the CIA provides assessments to policymakers understands that, you know, whether in unclassified versions or in classified versions, the CIA almost never says we know something without a qualification. In fact, usually they will rank it. They'll say we know with high confidence, we know with moderate confidence. And in this case, they told lawmakers without any qualification at all, we know that Al-Qaeda-linked extremists participated in this attack. And then, as you say, they had discussions of Ansar al-Sharia. They noted that they had made these warnings about the security situation in Libya more generally and the threat from Islamic radicals. And all of that, which was in those initial drafts from the CIA's Office of Terrorism Analysis, were gone, were basically expunged by the midday on Saturday, and crucially, after a meeting at the White House of high-level administration officials who seem to have done some work on the talking points.
With us right now is Stephen Hayes. Stephen, it kind of bothers me, too, that I remember that David Petraeus briefed reporters and also indicated that it could have been the video. That threw our investigative reporters off a little bit. Why would the CIA give up their reputation for the State Department?
Well, this is what's interesting, actually, and I think I'm actually working on an article about that particular aspect of this as we speak. You know, there was among the things that allowed the intelligence community to say with such certainty that Al-Qaeda-linked extremists had been involved in the attack were communications intercepts between two Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists. And in that conversation, in that back and forth, these jihadists said, in effect, hey, did you see what happened in Cairo? That then became something that was included in David Petraeus' briefing to members of Congress and in sort of an indirect way in these original talking points. You know, said that this was a spontaneous, the CIA in its initial talking points said this was a spontaneous reaction. You know, they'd seen protests in Cairo, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that is true, and that was something that the administration, of course, then seized on and made the centerpiece of its entire argument. But here's the interesting part. They seized on that. That became their entire argument. And they cut out the fact that the only reason we knew that there had been any reaction to what happened in Cairo was because of this phone call between two jihadists, between two Al-Qaeda-linked terrorists. So they cut out the Al-Qaeda section and kept the part that was, I think, useful to their preferred narrative.